for this particular meeting, and I have a short statement for public comment. For those folks that are online and in the room, I appreciate your time. Really happy that you're here and you can provide some comments for us today on these issues. So good afternoon, everyone. We welcome public comment from in-person and virtual attendees. Written comments may also be provided at any time to the council through our general public comment link on the Gulf Council website. Anyone joining us virtually that wishes to speak during public comment should have their hand raised, and we have a couple on the screen right now. When it's your turn to speak, we will unmute you. Hopefully, we'll be able to hear you. We are requesting that each speaker keep their comments to approximately 3 minutes. We'll be flexible with that because it looks like we don't have as many as we had last time. A timer will be displayed on the webinar screen to tell you where you are with that 3 minutes. Public commenters must refrain from addressing members of the focus group, council members, or staff in a derogatory or demeaning manner. If this request is not followed, the speaker will be cut off immediately. We also request that members of the focus group and members of the public refrain from engaging with each other while at the podium by asking each other questions. So thank you for following those ground rules. If you have a cell phone, hopefully you've had it silenced since you've been here. And please keep your private conversations outside. So again, just we understand emotions are high here. There's a lot on the line, and we appreciate people being here in person, but please follow these ground rules so I don't have to beep you. Thanks. So we're gonna start off with Andy Eglin. He's gonna kick us off. And you will have to turn the mic on, Mr. Eglin.
Mic on, but I'll do it anyway. Thank you again for having us here, and I really appreciate actually the focus group. I was very encouraged. I've been in the fishery for about 10 years, and I've been a lease fisherman the entire time. I've never owned one share. We fish a very small boat, 23-footer, only average, you know, it's a day boat, average about 20,000 pounds a year, do about 100 landings a year. And I do appreciate you guys coming together and having this opportunity to discuss the IFQ program, because during my tenure in the fishery, it has been extremely difficult because we have leased fish the entire time. Our lease price when we originally started was approximately 25 cents for red grouper. Currently, this year in January, we were paying upwards of $3. Red snapper was $2.75 when we started. This year, it's close to $5. Was in the beginning of the year. I'm not sure of too many industries that you are so uncertain in on January 1st. I just heard a gentleman make a comment today saying, well, we're trying to figure out the lease price for 2023. You know, what do you guys want to pay? What is it going to cost? When you hear those kinds of things as a fisherman that leases everything, it really makes you very distraught. Another thing that I wanted to mention was I was encouraged by this panel, and I thought that there was going to be true representation of the fishery. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily see true representation of the fishery out here. In order to achieve that, we would have to have a room full of fishermen. I don't think we have a room full of fishermen here because the fishermen are out there fishing. They don't have an opportunity to be here at these meetings, so I would like to thank the gentlemen that are trying to help us. And I know all you guys are in it for yourselves. Unfortunately, that's the way the world is. We are trying to help one another. That's not the way we are in the Gulf of Mexico. When you're a fisherman and somebody's in distress, you answer the call. You come to their aid. And that's what you guys are supposed to do. So I really hope that in the future and in future meetings that you do come to our aid. This is not something that needs to be just discussed in a political realm. It needs to be addressed. It needs to have some action, and it needs to make this the IFQ program was instituted to help sustainability of our fishery. It hasn't done that. It hasn't done it at all. It doesn't make it easier to do our jobs. What makes things more difficult is having larger corporations. You can't be a small business in this industry. You can't a new entry. You know, like you're trying to establish what is the description of a new entry. Like I said, 10 years, I've leased fish the entire time. And that's because I asked a gentleman moments ago, what would it cost me if I wanted to buy 1 pound of red snapper today to be able to catch it next year? $55 for 1 pound. I would have to buy a car to be able to go out and have enough red snapper on my boat to catch. If I wanted to target red snapper, we target red grouper. And even red grouper, like I said, it was 25 cents when we started to be upwards of $3 because we've reduced the harvest from 6 million pounds 10 years ago to under 3 million pounds this year. You know, and when you try to, again, it's a business that we are finding it very difficult to plan for because you can't plan how many fish you can catch. You can't plan what the weather's going to be. You can't plan when the hurricane's going to hit you. All you can do is prepare. So you try to have your boats ready when the weather's good, try to have gas in there and go. If you can't find quota at that time, makes it more difficult. Makes everything more difficult. The quota situation is what is ruining our industry. If we didn't have IFQ, I guarantee we'd have a lot more successful fishery in the Gulf of Mexico and throughout the world. So I thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, next, John Costello.
Appreciate y'all for listening. I have to agree a whole lot with what he said. And as far as the way the program's set up, I've been a fisherman my whole life. I ain't got no quota. Somebody else got my quota. I didn't own my boat at that point in time. And so many people are like that. 90% of the fishermen out there don't own quota. And when you started it, well, they allotted it to you according to what you caught. And now it just gets passed out, handed off, sold it off. Why don't you just, every 5 years, you got to requalify your permit. You run it like that. I don't know. It's just, it's messed up, and it hurts. It hurts a lot. Well, I don't know. It needs some serious, I appreciate y'all being here. It needs some serious work, but that's how I think it should be. The harder you fish, the more you produce, the more you're allotted. I mean, it's not the business it was when I started, and that's the only thing that changed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Henry Miller.
Good evening, everybody. I've had my license since 2005. I had it 5 years, and at that time, I could catch 6,000 pounds each day. Each day, and that, I didn't have to come in anytime I wanted. I could come in. In 2010, after 5 years, I was increasing my business every year, making a good living, making a fair living. 2010, the IFQ started. NOAA sent me a letter saying, okay, we're going to give you 250 pounds annually. And they said to the, quote, this is your quota for the year. We don't want to hear any hardship stories. You can contest, but we don't want to hear any hardship stories. Since then, I've not made a living. I've been able to maintain my license, and I keep it for future investment services or possibilities. I believe that if I would have had 30,000 pounds annually, if every permit had 30,000 pounds minimum annually, a person could make a living. I believe that all these permits who have no ownership should have ownership of a minimum of 20,000 pounds. That's my opinion. But I lost my train of thought there, but it's very emotional for us fishermen to see us getting the shaft like this. That's my opinion. All right. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Stephen Rash. Okay. Stephen left. Triton Nip.
Hi, I'm Triton Nip, second generation fisherman. Last couple times I spoke, I got upset and mad, and I apologize for that. It's a very emotional topic, and I should ask for your forgiveness. And that I'm speaking on behalf of Madeira Beach Seafood, my parents who own two longline boats, my brother who has a reef permit, and myself who does day trips. Like my parents' boats, they were tied at the dock for a lot of the year because the fish house said, we can't get quotas to send you fishing. And then finally they found some quota on their own, and they had some boat issues. And now they're looking at losing money because they can't, it looks like they're not going to catch that quota. And for myself, I do day trips. It's got to the point where it's completely unprofitable for me. I haven't done a commercial trip in 2 months, and it's killing me. There's nothing more I'd love to do than to go do my job. But like now, for instance, I know you can look find quota if you know a guy who knows a guy who has an Uncle Steve who knows a guy. But like if you go on to IFQ for you, right now, Red Grouper, $3.95. Fish House is charging $6 or paying $6 a pound for the fish. 3% off. That leaves you with $1.87. Most boats are about $800 to $1,000 a day to operate. You got to catch over 500 pounds a day just to pay expenses to break even. I mean, it's ridiculous. Then we're talking about the whole finance thing. It clearly states there's no value to be placed on the share. That's the law. And we're talking about helping people place a value on the shares. I'm not into sports, but I look at it as basketball. What if we would say, okay, the basketball players, every team that played in that 10-year period, they worked their butt off. They did great. They scored. They earned it. I mean, we earned this. We earned it. What about all the people that played before them and all the people that played after them? People have been fishing for thousands upon thousands of years, and we're put in a tiny little window. These guys own it. And then the shareholders come in. We want to buy the right to take what we want from these people. We want to buy the right. So right now they're taking 80 to 100% of my profit because they bought that right. It's like communism. I don't know. What do you call it? They literally own the right to charge what they want to charge. If you don't want to pay it, you don't get to go to work. Let me look at my note real quick, just make sure. I know I've got more stuff I want to say, but it's just, it's disheartening. It hurts. It sucks. And what did they do in that 10-year window? I really wanted to hear the adaptive catch here speech. I was really looking forward to that. That makes more sense than anything I've ever heard at any NOAA meeting. You catch it, you can work up. You don't, you can work yourself out. That's all I got. I just wish you guys could help us out.
Okay, thank you. Next we have Paul Reeves. And then after that, we'll go to our online person, Bill Tucker, after Paul.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Reeves, and I fish out of Steinhatchee. I'm a boat owner, permit owner, and I own fish. And I got into this fishery about 10 years ago, and I leased fish, and I bought fish, and I mortgaged houses, and I cashed in pension funds, and I bought every time I could. And I'm still buying, and I'm still leasing today. So the system works. I'm not saying it's for everybody, and everybody's where they want to be. But I'd love to own 100,000 pounds, but I don't own it because it's not in my business model. So I'm here to say that it does work to a degree. It may not work for everyone, but any idea of penalizing, you know, they gave flexibility in this system with the leasing of allocation. And to penalize somebody for leasing, following the program, is crazy. And then to reward somebody that says, I leased a bunch of fish, so I should be rewarded instead of taking that money and purchasing fish for the future. That's ridiculous too. I mean, this is not a welfare state. It's a business. If you can't afford it, get out. It's that simple. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Bill Tucker? We got Bill Tucker on the line.
Can you hear me?
We got you.
Can you hear me?
We got you.
Hello?
We can hear you, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. I assume that you can hear me. Okay. Confirm that. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear? Okay, super. Listen, I've been listening to this group for 2 days. My name's Bill Tucker. I started fishing in 1985. Reef fish fisheries are tiny boutique. It's a tiny boutique fishery. It's not a jobs program. You know, the demand for these fish and the demand of people who want to go catch them far outstrips the supply. It's a limited supply, and people have to come to grips with that. We just can't forget that. I mean, they catch 50 million pounds of blue crabs in Mississippi, and we've got a 3 million pound red grouper quota, and it's been cut drastically. Yeah, this is not a jobs program out there. There's not opportunities for everybody. These catch shows came in as a means to control effort in the commercial reef fish fishery, a fishery that was historically plagued by excessive effort. It resulted in derby behavior and short seasons. And before the catch shares, the Gulf reef fish fishery was a classic tragedy of the commons scenario. The fishermen raced to catch the quota, flooding the market with fish, driving prices down. And the only thing that fishermen could do was go fish harder, doubling down and trying to catch more fish to make up for the fallen prices. I mean, it accelerated the rate of catch. It resulted in early closed seasons. The only thing fishermen could do was shift to other fisheries, and they didn't need or want the added pressure. Then the reef fish and the grouper that you caught that now under a closed season had to be thrown back. They call them regulatory discards, and many of them were returned to the water dead, wasted, contributing to the decline of the stocks. The catch shows fixed all of that and extended the season to a year-round fishery, even in the face of simultaneous reduction of the quota. It was an amazing feat. And for the first time, our fisheries had real value, and a lot of guys cashed in and sold out their permits and sold out their quota share. You know, and many people spent their lives buying in, and I'm one of them. I've been fishing since 1985. I bought more shares to grow my business. Five or six years ago, I traded in and bought a big longline boat, needed a lot of work before I could fish it. And over the first few years I was working on the boat, a lot of stuff happened. Other guys wanted to fish my quota, and that was fine. It was a win-win situation. Some of them used it to target specific reef fish. You know, other guys used it to take care of their bycatch, reducing dead discards and bringing them to the dock so they could be counted against the quota. I mean, during the years I was rebuilding the boat, something else happened. You know, the red grouper quota was drastically cut. We lost about 70% of the commercial quota through cuts and reallocation. You know, I found myself in a bad situation, and through no fault of my own, I didn't have enough grouper to fish this new boat. I didn't have enough quota because of the quota cuts. So it forced me to sell the boat. It was heartbreaking. You know, but now at the 11th hour, now you want to change everything all up. If I have to catch my quota rather than negotiate with these other guys who want to fish it, then I'm just going to catch it. These other guys that have built a business fishing that quota, they're going to be left in the dark. I mean, how many dead discards on these other boats are going to result from that action? I'm catching it. These other guys are out there fishing, and they're throwing it back and killing the fish. That's not good for the fish stocks. I mean, how much income do those guys lose when they have to discard their catch? I mean, you guys need to start answering the question, okay, well, if you want to confiscate this quota and if you want to redistribute it all, then what? You know, when you're proposing these confiscatory actions. If you want to take these catch shares from the families who own them or force them to sell, the question arises for the new guy, how can he afford to buy it without access to capital? And the fisheries finance program seems to be the place to do it. That system needs to be streamlined. Quota share has value. You know, and people are willing to buy it. But only the well-heeled people, you know, have the money to do it. The new entrants, they need access to capital. The access to the quota is there. The demand outstrips the supply of it. That's the problem. That's why the prices are high. So people need access to it. And actually, it's not access to the quota. They've got that. It's access to capital they don't have. And that's where we need to focus on it. You know, I spent all my, my life savings buying this stuff. I had what my initial allocations, and I bought more to grow a business. Now you want to take it from me so somebody else can get in on the cheap? You know, I resent that. I don't think that's fair. I've got time and money, decades. So, did I get cut off here?
Thank you. No, you didn't get cut off, but can you wrap it up, Bill?
Okay, well, yeah. Listen, quota shares are just permits, but they're limited permits, and they're limited to a percentage of the commercial quota. And they're dividable among users, just like trap tags are in trap fisheries. And it takes time for fishermen to accumulate enough quota or trap tags for the businesses they might envision. They cost money and they're not cheap, but they're affordable enough that there's plenty of willing buyers. I mean, in fact, the demand for quota outstrips the supply. Then there's participants who resent the fact that fishing is an expensive business to enter. The costs, and not just the money, are high. You need to be a businessman in today's fisheries to prosper. You need to assess whether it's a good business for you to enter or if there's better financial opportunities for you somewhere else. Immersion is not going to serve you well as a basis for entering this business. But if you do the math and determine that you're willing to do the work to build a fishing business, then you should be expected to pay your own way. And buying out existing fishermen is the only way to do that without adding effort to our fishery. The quota is accessible to anybody with the capital necessary to complete the deal. The question is accessibility to the capital. And the fishery finance program is the logical place to achieve it. We should revise this program so the quota acts as the collateral and simplify the access to the capital necessary to build a guy's business and necessary for them to buy somebody out so that they can retire. So that's my two cents worth. Thanks all for the opportunity.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to hear from you. Okay, next let's go to Steve Mazel. Hopefully I didn't say that terribly wrong. Mazel. Oh, please turn the mic on. That mic got turned off.
Forgive me, I'm kind of got notes here. Let me jump around a little bit. Steve Mazel, started fishing in 1977, went full-time in 84, owned many boats, been through everything, hurricanes and red tides and you name it. The best thing that the IFQ program as it stands has done is it's created unbelievable stability in the fishery. I mean, it has turned a fishing business into a real business, which you can bank on, you can rely on it, and anything you do to change the way the system is now, you're going to create instability. If you start making guys catch part of their percentage of their quota, they're going to catch, if say they got 100,000 pounds of red snapper and you make them catch 10,000, they're going to have to set up a boat to go catch that 10,000 pounds or buy somebody's boat, whatever. They're not going to set it up to catch 10,000 pounds. They're going to set it up to catch 50, because what's the point of having a boat if you're only going to go catch 10,000 pounds a year? They're going to catch as much as they possibly can because they're in the business. So that cuts into the allocation that's available to guys like me. I buy all of my red snapper allocation. I think I own 500 and some pounds, 575 or whatever. So that's nothing. So if you start making these guys catch these fish, you're going to create an issue where there's less quota, less allocation for the rest of us. And these guys that own all this quota, that are particularly primarily leasing it anyway, that's what they want to do, they want to sell every pound to a guy that's catching the fish. So they want the fish to be caught. It's not like they're holding them back and not putting it out there. If there's a problem with getting allocation, it's because there's too many people trying to catch too few fish. So the bottom line is we need more fish in the water to support more fishermen. That was the whole problem with before the IFQ program started. We were over capacity on catching these fish. The seasons were shorter. The seasons were closed every year. It was shorter, shorter, shorter. Then we got the IFQ program, and the whole thing just opened right up again, and it was... we were good until the quotas are dropped. The quota up and down, that determines how many people you can have fishing. So it's a natural progression. So you need extra permits. So when the quota goes up, if a guy needs to put on an extra boat, so he has another boat, he puts another boat, he has more allocation to catch, he can do that. If you constrain people, they're going to figure out a way, something else to do. You know, and you need people to invest in the program. Like, it's okay that these guys, I mean, you know, when the program first started, we tried to keep it within just the fishermen. And the council said, okay, well, now you got to open it up to the general public because it's a common property resource. We were like, well, that's not going to work because you're going to have investors. Well, now we've got the investors. And that's okay. It works. So they're, as long as they're selling the allocation back to the fishermen that are actually catching it, it's working. And if there's a lack of availability, it's because we get too many people trying to catch two fish. Back to the point, we need more fish in the water. That's what we should be focused on. The finance program, we need to tweak that so it's easier to access, to make it available to newcomers, to whoever that wants to buy the allocation or the quota. I don't see there's a problem with latent permits because the amount of quota determines how many people are fishing. So there's no value in a permit unless the quota's up where you can actually put it to work and fish. That's about all I've got right now. Appreciate it. Thank you. Anyway, the status quo would be great. Just leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back online to Rachel Heisler. Is Rachel Heisler on?
Yes, I'm on.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel Heisler. I'm over in Texas, and I am a third-generation commercial fishing family. We have pretty much done all of the different facets of the business, from fish house to boat to retail to restaurant, all of it at some point in time. Currently, my husband is a captain who fishes leased quota, and in listening these last 2 days, I found the conversation to be very mostly unproductive because we keep coming back to the same log jams, it feels like. And so to that end, I would say there's much more conversation to be had to try and find solutions that are more palatable to everyone. And then I tend to agree with a lot of what Bill Tucker said as far as the way that it works now. You know, families like mine, we agreed to the rules of the game before we started playing. We've been following the rules, and I feel that it would be unfair to punish us now because new people want to start playing the game when we have been following the rules and doing what we agreed to do at the outset of this. And then I would also add that I would love to see more of this financing program explored. And I think that's a better focus of this energy rather than this type of circular discussion where it doesn't really seem like either side is going to be happy with whatever the decided result is, from at least from the conversations that were had today. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, let's go into the room. Eric Schmidt.
Good afternoon. I really don't have a dog in this fight anymore. I've sold my commercial boat. I sold my allocation. 2 years ago, I was running a commercial boat for an individual. I saw what was going to happen to the catch share prices, and I realized it wasn't financially viable for me to continue. However, I was on the Tilefish Grouper IFQ AP, and I was on the Red Snapper IFQ AP. A lot of the discussion that I hear at the table now is the same thing that we went through when we implemented this program. At the same time I served on those APs, I was integrally involved with the longline buyout. I heard yesterday that the buyout was actually not an overcapitalization reduction. And to that, I would very much disagree. We had to create a universe of participants. At that time, it was 2003, we had about 1,400 reef fish permits. There were 134 vessels that identified as longline vessels. We came up with a qualification to create a longline endorsement. It was 8,500 pounds for 2 years out of three. That removed 50 vessels that identified as longline vessels. And actually, if you longline, you're only catching 8,500 pounds a year, you're really not making any money. But if you did participate, along with that, we had come up with a voluntary tiered trip limit where vessels were able to catch 10,000. When we got to 75%, we went to 7,500. When we went to 50%, we went to 5,500. That's because 3 years in a row, we were catching fish at a fever pace. Fishermen really stepped up their effort, plus the fishing was excellent. And we were closing. 1 year, I think we closed at the end of September. 1 year, we closed in October. So we needed to find a way to make it a year-round fishery. But any vessel that participated in the buyout had to be destroyed or sent overseas. It could not participate in another fishery. Any vessel that did not qualify for the longline endorsement could participate as a vertical line fishery, but no vertical line fishing vessels that were left could switch over to longline gear and become longliners. So yes, I would call that addressing overcapitalization in the fishery. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go back online to Brian Lewis, please. Brian?
Hello, can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I want to take this time thanking everybody that came to that meeting and making an effort, although I don't think any general consensus came out of it. My name is Brian Lewis. I own a fishing vessel at Fishers for Frenchy Seafood in Clearwater, Florida. And my son-in-law, Martin, runs that boat on a full-time basis. I lease Red Snapper. I work together with the IFQ program. I'm a stakeholder. I own my own shares, which I bought every one of them. I had to make a business decision. That is the biggest thing that I had to do in my business. I either decided to either stay in or get out. When this IFQ program came into play, my fishing permit that I sold, somebody else got all my quota because I was building a new boat. So I missed the qualifying years to get any IFQ. So when the IFQ program came into play, I was looking at like an additional $1,200 a trip to go fishing. I was like, I can't continue to rent fish. I got to do something or I got to sell the boat and get out. So I did just that. I sold my fishing boat. I turned around and I bought IFQ with all the proceeds from the fishing boat. I turned around and I leased my quota out and I kept building it up. And then I bought another boat and we're back fishing again. Again, I made a business decision. I worked together years ago with Bob Gill on the first generation of the IFQ loan program. And they defined a substantial participant in the fishery as anyone who caught, I think it was like 12,000 pounds or something like that a year of fish is considered a substantial fisher in the fishery. And so I didn't have any shares, and that loan program was looking really good to me, but it never flourished. Noah let it sit in their office and they just never implement it. Now they got a new IFQ loan program, which I spoke with Maria Starr about. And you better walk on water if you want to be able to borrow money from that. So I think I echo what I've heard from Billy Tucker and Stevie and many others, is this IFQ loan program definitely needs to be make it a little bit easier for these guys to get the capital, because it's not going to be an easy process. As a matter of fact, if I look at the track history, I'm sure there's been very little bit of amount of money that's being borrowed from it, from anyone, unless, like I said, they walk on water. But with that said, there's other opportunities, folks. You can refinance your house. You could do something like I did and take a step back. There's many opportunities. This land we live in is a beautiful place to make a living in. And I think that the status quo of the IFQ program needs to be left alone. And if there was any gonna be changes, maybe just minimizing the effort that has to be achieved. I mean, if guys aren't in it substantially fishing, they don't need to be leasing quota. And the people, we're going to need it for addressing the bycatch and discard mortality issues. So, you know, thanks again for this opportunity, but I think status quo is where we need to stay with this IFQ. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, let's go back in the room to Joseph Abdu. Probably you're passing? No? Okay. How about Sean Heverin? There he is.
Hi, how you doing today? My name's Sean Heverin. I buy and sell off of quite a few boats in the Gulf, mainly based out of Madeira Beach. Also sell off of boats in Louisiana. Before I came to the Gulf, I fished in the South Atlantic as a bandit fisherman, rod and reel. It was a trip limit fishery, no quota. If you have a smaller boat, it's a great fishery. but I decided to come to the Gulf as a better opportunity. You could work on volume. And I knew what I was getting myself into when I came to the Gulf, because, you know, just looking from the outside in, you know, this fishery is not really designed for day boats and small boats unless you own your own shares. So if you're working on leased fish, you need to be working on volume. So you need to be either long lining in the Northern Gulf or deep water groupers and tiles, maybe getting some snapper bycatch. If you can secure a deal to get a big chunk of snapper to fish on leased fish, you could do that too. or just catch a whole bunch of fish as a rod and reeler and be a, you know, highliner like, you know, Steve and a couple other guys down here in this area. So I think this program is a good program. I wouldn't have came over to the Gulf if it wasn't. I've been very successful. I started out catching deep water groupers and tiles in the Northern Gulf. Caught a lot of volume. There's a lot of quota access for that. I couldn't get any access to snapper when I first came over here. So I built my business on deep water groupers and tiles, and I eventually met more people and connected with them and got access to snapper. And, you know, I think year to date, between the quota that I've leased and the quota that some of the fishermen I work with own, I think we've sold almost 400,000 pounds of snapper this year. I came over here 5 or 6 years ago with zero access to anything. So I mean, it can be done. As far as getting access to shares, it's been a very tough struggle for me and a lot of others. I think I bought maybe 10,000 pounds of mixed up shares, like, you know, red grouper, shallow water, gag, whatever, over the 5 or 6 years I've been able to save up to get. But I've been in the fishery finance program loan for 2 years and no success with them. Their biggest thing in not approving me with the loan is collateral. They want me to collateralize other permits I have, fishing boats, cars, vehicles. I own a rental property in Jack's Beach I bought probably 7 or 8 years ago. They want me to use that as collateral. Getting access to the capital needed to buy shares has been a huge struggle for anybody new into the fishery, and we need to get that changed. That's my biggest suggestion with the IFQ program, is to use the shares as collateral with the IFQ loan program. And if we can get that done, it's going to open up a lot of access for people to buy into the fishery. Also, they have a, if you're buying a new purchase of IFQ shares, it's 20% down. That's tough. You know, if you're going to go buy $1 million worth of shares, you got to come up with 200 grand. Well, if you leased fish January 1st, you probably used up most of your capital to lease those fish. That doesn't really leave you much with much left to use for a down payment on a fishery finance program loan at 20% down payment. So if they could do a maybe like a 5 or 10% down payment, it would make it a little bit more flexible for the guys trying to get in. Or another idea is, you know, maybe you could prove, you know, high landings over a period of time in the fishery to use as a maybe 4-year down payment. You know, you've been in the fishery for 4 or 5 years. You produced, you know, 80 to 100,000 pounds of fish per year. That could be your down payment. So I think if we can get that changed, I think it'll improve access to quota for people looking to buy shares.
Thank you. Okay, let's go back to Jay Mullins online, and anybody in the room, if you'd like to provide comment after Jay's done, we'll give that folks those that opportunity. So Jay, go ahead. Jay Mullins.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had it muted there. Good afternoon. God help us after listening to this discussion. You know, there was a charge. I sat there and listened to the motion be put forward to the council, whatnot, passed it for this focus group. And it was very, very directed as to what the focus group was supposed to do. And immediately, I start listening to recreational discards. Oh, it's this, it's that. Well, Mr. Strawcheck, this is what your council looks like if you want to repopulate it. You put a bunch of commercial people in a room that can't even follow a simple directive. It's disgusting. The whole thing that's going on in our program, the ecological effects of the IFQ program I heard were so great. Look at our fish stocks in the Eastern Gulf. They're horrendous. We opened up year-round access to a fish that can't handle year-round access, grouper. Yes, our snappers made a wonderful comeback. As we went through a rebuilding program on our snappers in the Eastern Gulf, all of us that were heavily vested in our fishery, did we receive them? No. A reciprocating program is the only way that we look at a future of future generations getting in our business. You tell me a new entry after listening to these discussions want anything to do with this business? That's sad. How could we move forward in our industry if we can't come together as a whole and actually make some real brass tacks decisions about what the future looks like? All I hear is greed and gimme, I want mine, I want more. We don't have access to fish, to allocation. If somebody has been in this industry 40 plus years, can't get access to allocation, what's it look like for a new entry? Y'all need to really look at where you come from and say, hey, maybe I've been in it long enough and we need to let some new people come start in. We can't live forever. I lost my brother at the beginning of this year. Life hits you hard. We don't live forever. We need to start thinking about the next people, start teaching them kindness and compassion, and maybe they'll want to follow our lead. But as the way it is right now, and listening to greed and all this other crap that y'all got going on. It's sad, and it makes us real fishermen disheartened. There are some of us still left in this industry that passionately care about our fishery, but not very many. The graying of the fleet is true. There ain't but a handful of us real fishermen left. And if y'all want to keep talking about business models and build this, build that, you didn't have to build nothing. You had to fish. You had to have the passion to fish and care about the fishery. How does somebody outside our industry owning shares do us any good? They don't care what we have. They don't care about nothing. It's us fishermen that are the best stewards of our resource. So I hope y'all really take a good, long, hard look at yourselves and start thinking about what's actually look the future actually looks like. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. So is there anybody else in the room that wanted to speak? Yes, sir. Could you be sure to state your name, please?
My name is Wilson Zimmerman. I own the fishing vessel Southern Mist. 2 years ago, I sold my house and my business and bought this boat and spent 2 years building it, spending every penny I had on the boat and on a permit. And hopefully by this spring, it'll be done and ready to fish. I bought the permit from a friend of mine who was building a boat and his health went bad. So he didn't use his permit for 3 years. Now I've owned it for 2 years. And I need that permit to fish. And I don't know if Casey's allowed to answer questions, but what happens to my permit? I can't fish without
offline, permit. Offline, please. Yeah, offline, please.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the room that would like to speak? Okay, Bernie, did we have anybody else online? No. All right, well, again, I appreciate everyone being here in person and online. I appreciate everyone's time. Thank you all very much. See you soon, I hope.